What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, February 12th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one at Tim Geddes.
What, Tim Host?
We're the Red Boys.
We're the Red Boys today.
Look at this. We got a new thing going. You don't know what that means because you're an audio listener? Too bad. Turn the car around, go home.
You could
home,
never guess
turn
what
on
Greg
to
could possibly be talking about. Could he be referencing the fact that we're both wearing red?
No, it's impossible.
Yeah, all three of us.
You never know. Barrett. Red Boys, all right?
Okay.
Not the Red Men. All right, okay. You stay over there and you do your thing, all right?
It's cool. Good to have you back, Greg.
It's good to be back, Tim. I've missed you. I've missed this whole show. I've missed hanging out.
I'm just talking about video games with you. Yeah. Here we are, doing it.
So the biggest thing, I think, since I've left you for a week was you beat Kingdom Hearts 3.
I did beat Kingdom Hearts 3.
How long did that take you? Thank you, Barrett.
25 hours.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. That's big.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't expect you to put that kind of time in. It's just you did it so quickly.
Oh,
I guess Final Fantasy went on a long time. Final Fantasy, longer game. I understand.
Yeah. Final Fantasy 15 didn't take that long.
Yeah. It felt like it took you like a little bit longer than this.
I don't remember, actually.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say.
Everybody, it's been a while.
Yeah, whoever it's wants to go while. Through right now and watch every Gamescast while we do this, do try that. To catch it. What did you think? What was the final verdict here?
I'm sure it'll come up on Gamescast. Yeah, we'll talk about it more on Gamescast for the third time.
But these will be your finished impressions.
My final impressions of it. I really liked the end bit. I feel like the last 5 hours were like, all right, cool. I wish the rest of the game was like this.
Okay, fair. Mm-hmm. Are you ready, Tim, for one of the biggest shows we've had in 2019, if not the biggest show?
There's been a lot of big shows, man. This Apex Legends stuff coming out of nowhere. 25 million?
We got a packed show right now, ladies and gentlemen. Today on Kinda Funny Games Daily, we're going to talk about how Sony talked about crossplay and immediately put its foot in its mouth. There's a Nintendo Direct tomorrow, and Mass Effect isn't dead. All of this will be covered and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can submit questions, comments, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. What's that? You don't like the ads on the YouTube and MP3 versions of this on the podcast and the YouTube? Don't worry about it. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can get the show ad-free each and every day. Housekeeping for you. I am leaving today after In Review to go. I'm sorry, Barrett. One day I'll work a full week with you. Maybe we'll get to eat a meal together and say hi. I'm going to Las Vegas to host the 22nd annual DICE Awards.
That's third
time. It's me and Jessica Chobot. Tomorrow night, you can watch it everywhere at 8 p.m. Pacific. We will be hosting it on Kinda Funny Games Twitch if you want to watch it with the best friends. Then don't forget that the Kinda Funny World Tour is still rolling on. This Sunday, we're in San Francisco at Triple Voodoo Brewery at 3 p.m. for 3 hours. Then we go over to Cobb's Comedy Club to see Nick Scarpino perform. Then Kansas City, you're next, March 30th. New York, April 6th after that. You can get the full rundown at kindoffunny.com/events. I want to thank our Patreon producers for the month: Tom Bach, TJ Meehan, Joe Beezer, Trevor Starkey, Mohammed, and Blackjack. It's like how I used to say flapjack. Remember that?
I do remember. Never forget.
Good. And then today we are brought to you by Hims, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be a jumbo-sized Roper Report. Time for some news! 6 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number one, PlayStation decides to talk about crossplay, and Sony Interactive Entertainment Worldwide Studios boss Sean Layden puts his foot in his mouth. This is from Andy McNamara over at Game Informer, someone who was just on Kinda Funny Games Daily, and I assume immediately got the job at Game Informer following. Andy has a long interview with Sean. Talks about a whole bunch of great stuff. There's talk about like a console's future in there and all this interesting stuff. Really good stuff. And more about like what we covered yesterday with what is going on with E3, what is going on with ESA, what PlayStation and Sean think E3 needs to become. However, Andy eventually comes to cross-play and what they saw and the demand of that. I'm picking up in the middle of this with two major paragraphs from Sean before we get to the one I've titled, Here's Where Everything Goes Wrong.
Oh, man.
But I think we learned from the feedback from our fans that it was important, that being crossplay. And it wasn't just important to a vocal minority. Though, if you look at the numbers of the actual crossplay population, that Venn diagram isn't too big. Even the fans who weren't personally going to participate in a crossplay activity across different hardware pieces just felt that it was kind of tone deaf of PlayStation. We've tried to be so good, certainly over the last 4 or 5 years, to be in tune with what our fans are, be in tune with our fans, and to listen to what they want and try to be friends of the gamer. We looked at that approach. This is just not friendly. Very well said. We got to that determination a lot faster than you read about it on the internet or heard people talk about it. It's just that, and I've used this phrase a couple of times, it's not like flipping a switch. And then people online say, of course it is. No, of course it isn't. When we did turn it on, light it up, we wanted to make sure we had thought out all the different ramifications of cross-play, cross-purchase, cross-progression. Those are all three very discrete aspects of what crossplay is. And there are decisions you make in provisioning those different pieces of it that if you make it quick and hasty and the wrong decision, you can put yourself in a corner really fast. And that prevents scalability over time and the ability to bring people in a secure and safe way. Great. This is all true. I understand that. What I'd always heard from behind the scenes is that crossplay was something they knew they needed to do. They were working on it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they messaged it wrong all the time, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where everything
goes
wrong.
I'm really excited about this part. I don't know.
Sean continues. We got to that place in Fortnite, and it seems to be going reasonably well, from what I can tell. The Rocket League light up will happen soon. There's going to be news on that. We have a release date for the actual cross system in a second. People keep saying, why doesn't Sony allow more people to have it? We're open for business on this one. All it takes is for publishers and developers who wish to permission it. As ever, just work with your PlayStation account manager, and they will walk you through the steps that we've learned through our partnership with Epic on how this works. I don't believe right now there is any gating factor on that. I think they're open to make proposals because the Fortnite thing worked pretty well. Over on Reset Era, is that how you pronounce anything? Chimed in with this. Hi all, CEO of Chucklefish here. We just launched Wargroove with crossplay between PC, Switch, and Xbox, so I wanted to chime in. We've made many requests for crossplay, both through our account manager and directly with higher-ups, all the way up until release month. We were told in no uncertain terms that it was not going to happen. From our side, we can literally toggle a switch and have it working. Of course, policy work might be more complicated for Sony. Just wanted to provide some balance on the issue and say that it certainly isn't a question of developers having not contacted their account managers or having dropped the ball. We were told no.
Wow.
What the fuck?
That's
like,
not
what
good.
The fuck? Like, I saw this morning, and I don't think, like, I'm a character sometimes. I get to play around on the internet and different stuff. This legitimately made me angry. Similar to the tone-deaf approach they took at E3 when Fortnite launched and was cross-play with Switch and Xbox and PC and everything else, and PlayStation's like, no, right? I totally, totally get and understand how big PlayStation is, how big Sean Layden's job is, how many different moving pieces there are.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot understand getting backed into a corner this way and putting it all on the developers this way. That is such a load of horse shit. I have heard off the record from so many friends and personal conversations that make video games. They're just like, we would love to do it. Yes, it is a switch on our end, sure. But Sean's quote about it not being a flip of a switch, right, is different. Because he's saying that in a pre-beta world. Mm-hmm. He's saying that for them it wasn't a flip of the switch because they needed to worry about these different pieces, right? He's talking about cross-progression. He's talking about cross-play, cross-purchase, cross-fulfillment, all that stuff. And that how that had to do it, right? I don't for a second believe that Fortnite's figured all of that out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Rocket League being allowed into this beta as they have is them continuing to figure it out. I don't understand how you can be that removed from what's happening with the consumer. And again, just Sean makes a great point in this. The Venn diagram, I'm very much one of those people. The Venn diagram of people using this is incredibly small.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great. I might have here or there stumbled into a Fortnite game with somebody, but it's always me and Poe playing on PS4 together, or me and Andy playing on PS4 or whatever nowadays on Fortnite. So I'm not here banging the drum because I'm desperately trying to play with a Switch person on this game. I just think it's something that should happen and should be there. And obviously they agree and understand what's happening in the industry. This article, again, a very well done interview, is about the future and where we are.
So this is interesting because, I mean, from my perspective, we always talk about the transparency and how important it is. And so it is great that he's out there having these type of conversations. Yeah. The problem is you need to, when you're talking about something that you've had a PR kind of meltdown with over in the last year, you got to be very careful about what you say because you're going to rile people up.
Yeah.
This riled people up. Yeah. Now, the other side of it, though, is the Chucklefish CEO, based on just what he's saying here. I don't know the details of it. It's like, let us know when you're wrong if I'm wrong about this. But they're saying we made many requests for cross-play. So they're just talking about cross-play. They don't mention cross-progression or any of that stuff.
Sure.
And cross-save and all that. Last week, the Apex Legends Respawn was talking about how they're going to have cross-play eventually, but they're probably not going to have cross-progression or cross-saves because that is not just a Switch. That is very difficult, and that had to be thought of way earlier in the process and like blah, 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 blah. Maybe, based on what Sean Layden's saying, he's like, it's not a Switch to do all the things. It is, and then the Chucklefish person saying, yeah, it is a Switch for cross-play, maybe not the others.
Right, right. That's a good point. That's a good point. No, that's a good one to throw in there. I just feel like they're only asking for crossplay, and maybe they weren't.
That's the bigger problem. Is I think that when he's talking about the Venn diagram of the crossplay thing, I think the crossplay is a small thing. I think cross progression is something that a lot of people really want. I think that if you look at the consumer that is most playing video games now, they probably own multiple consoles,
multiple platforms,
or at least have friends that have different consoles. And in this free-to-play era that we have with games like Apex Legends or Fortnite or whatever the hell is going to come out next, like, you want to be able to play wherever you want to play, jump in, jump out, and not have to worry about all the details of what economy you're in, you know?
Yeah.
And to me, that's the way more important thing than cross-play, because who the fuck cares necessarily about playing against other consoles, unless it's very specifically with your friends,
right?
Which I feel like is a much more specific use case than gamers wanting to just have their accounts tied to them, you know,
tied to the system. No, you're making a good point there, and I think that is, and that's the thing of, again, though, with like the messaging to fumble it here again on this thing, not to get into the nitty gritty of that, but make it understand that because he's even saying, like, it's not as much flipping Switch there, but now they have the idea and they can do that, right? Like, that's what this final paragraph, where everything goes wrong, as I say, it goes wrong. Where it is saying before it wasn't a flip the Switch, and even today there's going to be more hurdles to go through and things to do. But to get here and be able to do it, I don't know, man. It's just such a fucking quagmire of, like, just let fucking Wargroove do it.
Yeah.
If Wargroove's doing it everywhere else, why? You're saying it's as easy as this.
I wonder where the breakdown falls. Because like you said, PlayStation, huge company. Sean Layden taking care of a lot of different things, not necessarily approving every single one of these that comes through.
He even says
it's on the account managers. I wonder what those conversations look like with Chucklefish going to the account managers and asking them, like, no, like, it's not going to happen. And for them to say that they made requests for crossplay up to release, like, that's not good if there's that much of a communication breakdown where Sean Layden, a mouthpiece to the company, a face of the company, is going out and saying, oh, yeah, no, we got this and it's good, when it's clearly not good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, like, you bring the breadth of PlayStation and how deep it is, right? We say this, right, and then we sit here and guess what? In the next 6 months, probably, some game is going to get released and not have a platinum trophy. And we're all going to be like, why the fuck doesn't it have a platinum trophy? And they're going to be like, oh, we told us not to. Mm-hmm. Like, our account manager said we couldn't have it. When in reality, as I've said for how many years now, if you ask them, you know, do this and they'll fix it, right? It's the same thing. I'm going over to twitter.com/PS4_trophies. Brian, friend of the show, runs a YouTube channel that I use for trophies all the time, right? He had brought up on Apex, right? We're talking a lot about this. February 5th, he had tweeted out, like, does anyone else experience frequent blue screen crashes in the game Apex Legends? I get one every 3 to 4 hours, and I suspect it's just me and related to the size of my friends list.
Yeah.
And he had gone back and talked. I'm trying to find other tweets, right, where it was like, that does seem to be the problem, that once again, another game is hindered by a giant friends list, which is why I've been trying to purge mine for since launch, where I ran into like not being able to run fucking Tetris because my friend's list was too complex, and like that's just not something people continue to go for. There's so many moving parts at PlayStation. I understand it being difficult to narrow in on a problem like this that we've seen before, rarely, but you've seen before.
Yeah.
Narrow in on something like this, right? Of okay, what did they mean in this specific case for Chucklefish? Mm-hmm. And that's great. You know, I was fired up. Period. Just reading the Sean Layden quote.
Yeah.
Fired up because I know people are getting turned away, and I know they've said it was this easy. And it was the thing of, again, the Switch flip is such a, you know, it gets a deservedly bad rap, and we're like, just port it. Flip the Switch, make it port. You know what I mean? But, like, I remember Dunham being on the record in some article, right, that Rocket League was just waiting, or maybe it was Fortnite, was just waiting. So one of the two was just waiting to flip the Switch, and Fortnite accidentally did flip the Switch and have it working for a while before they were supposed to. Like, it's just bad messaging all around.
It's really interesting stuff. I want to know more about where the difficulties lie in the cross progression and cross save versus cross play.
Here's my thing.
Respawn was talking about.
Is I feel, well, the problem you have, and that's complicated, right, is that you don't want, so many of these games are built not having you log into an Epic account, right? You're logging into your PlayStation, and that's what it's all tied to. So then it does get weird of how to get that information between them. And that's why for me personally, if I was PlayStation and I was like, fuck, let's just nip this in the bud. Wargroove wants it, fine. They can play with their friends, but no, we're not going to let them take their PlayStation save over there or their PlayStation progression. I don't think, for me personally, somebody who's played, I've only played Wargroove single player. Really good. Only played it single player, so I don't know. But I can't imagine that my online persona going in is getting uploaded to a server and I have a static thing and I'm using it.
You bring
it
up
like,
a good point with the Epic account. That is the key difference there.
And that was the whole thing with Rocket League too, right? Where they were making that Rocket ID account. Hold on one second. Because it was, as I was talking about it, the Friends update is coming February 19th to Rocket League. They announced today. And yeah, the update will see the introduction of Friends List, previously referred to as Rocket ID, the long-awaited cross-platform party system. For the first time in Rocket League, players will be able to invite friends from other gaming platforms to parties and clubs. So, like, that's a workaround to what they already have. Because Rocket League cross-platform plays live right now, where you can play each other no problem. But, yeah, since you didn't have Rocket ID, you didn't have an Epic account for Rocket League, there wasn't a way for you to attach everything that way.
I bet that going forward, this is going to be something that, when you're making a game specifically free to play, but it doesn't necessarily have to be free to play, but these big, massive multiplayer games that you're trying to expect, games as a service in general,
sure,
right? I think that they're going to have to come up with solutions for this. And I feel like Rocket AE is a perfect example of that. Epic having its own thing is an example of that. But imagine Ubisoft, right? Like, Ubisoft is a perfect example of they need to come up with a system that allows you to have cross progression across whatever games you want to play on any system that they release their games on, because so many of their games are constantly these type of games, right? That it would be so nice to be able
Here's my thing, and I know I'm being short-sighted, and I'm sure in a year when it's all reality or something, I'll be different about it. I don't know if you do. Like, because my thing is this. I don't, and it's weird because Fortnite's so exciting and so cool, and it is awesome that I'm on the go, and if I really wanted to play Fortnite, I could log in on my Switch and use the same account I use on my PlayStation or on my phone or vice versa. For me, especially Division 2, right? I am at fever pitch excitement for the Division 2. I can't fucking wait. I already told Jen. I put it on the calendar, right? I want to stream all that Friday. I'm sure the servers will be garbage. Nothing will work. I told Jen that weekend, I'm not doing a goddamn thing but playing it, right? Like, I just want to play it. For me with Division 2, it isn't the idea that, fuck, I wish I could, when I'm on the road, I could use my laptop in a hotel room to play my Division 2 character, right? Because hotel Wi-Fi sucks. And I do dream of, I've talked about it, yes, the streaming future for Microsoft.
And that's what I'm saying. It's going to happen.
Sure. But right now, all I want is that Gary's character on Xbox One can come play with me a few missions on my PlayStation 4. I don't mind being anchored to my PlayStation 4 because that's where I expect that game to be. And that's a very specific use case.
And I think that's the thing, like, everybody has their own specific use cases, which is why I can't actually make the argument that cross save and progression is more important than cross play, because everybody has different needs. Yeah, I just think that we are moving towards this streaming future. It is going to come sooner than later.
Right.
Within 2 years, all these streaming services are going to be in the wild. Whether or not they work great, that's a whole other question. It doesn't matter. They'll be there. And when they're there, when you can just randomly boot up a video game you were playing at your house on a laptop, wherever the hell we are, you're gonna want to be able to log into your shit. But
in the same vein, stick with me here, Tim, all right? And keep all the little things you've been percolating on, I want you to keep percolating on them, all right? Number two on the Roper Report is, speaking of PlayStation, Jim Ryan is now in charge of PlayStation. Sony Corporation and Sony Interactive Entertainment today announced that SIE Deputy President Jim Ryan will be appointed President and CEO of SIE effective April 1st, 2019. Current SIE President and CEO John Codera will dedicate his focus on creating innovative user experiences and further enhancing the network area as Deputy President of SIE. At the same time, Jim Ryan will also assume the role of Representative Director and President of SIE's Japan-based legal entity, Sony Interactive Entertainment Incorporated. And John Codera will be Representative Director and Deputy President. And Jim Ryan will report directly to Kenichiro Yoshida, President and CEO of Sony Corporation. Cool. Executive shuffling have never excited me. I wonder if anything will change. Jim Ryan is the first guy to put his foot in the mouth about fucking crossplay and whatever.
Yeah,
so
it's an interesting day.
Let's see what happens when he gets out there and starts talking. However, I want to bring in Silk's question here. Of course, Silk wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. What?
Slick.
Don't call him Silk.
Right.
No, Slick wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "Sup, Greg and Tim. With Jim Ryan stepping into the big shoes for SIE and coming from PSN-focused side, what do you think PSN or other services like PSVU and PS Now will look like in 5 years? Do you read enough into that? Do you think that's this is part of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's the thing is, like, that's what we were just talking about, and, like, it's inevitable that this is happening. I just feel the big question is when and how.
Yeah.
When you look at, Microsoft, I feel, is a bit easier to pinpoint because they've been talking about
it more. They've been very public about
and
it.
So it's like we kind of have an idea of where that's going. And when you look at the decisions they've been making, and when you look specifically at Game Pass, like them putting all of their first party titles on Game Pass right now doesn't feel like much because there's not much.
Right.
But they're going to stick with that, and that's going to be huge once the heavy hitters start coming out. PlayStation has to be taking notes on that. And whether or not they're going to do that specifically, they're going to combine PS Now and PSN and PS Plus and whatever the fuck.
Sure.
All the different things. They're going to come out with one service, and it's going to have some type of cloud streaming gaming.
Yeah.
And I think that that's going to be a huge cornerstone to their business and to what PlayStation is, what video games are.
And again, this reaches back to that same Game Informer interview where Andy's talking to Sean about, like, the one day there, you know, it's going to continue, these walls will continue to fall down, and there will be streaming, there will be this. I think it's interesting to bring in Yoshida. Again, this is not Shuhei Yoshida. This is Kenichiro Yoshida, president and CEO of the Sony Corporation. This was the comment they included in the press release about this promotion. "Our game and network services business has grown into Sony Group's largest business in terms of both sales and operating income. Furthermore, our business in this domain holds significant importance as our growth driver going forward. At the same time, this business is relentlessly fast-moving, and to maintain the market leader, we must constantly evolve ourselves with a sense of urgency. Based on extensive discussions with John, I've decided to change the management structure of SIE to ensure sustainable evolution of the PlayStation platform and further growth of the network area. Jim Ryan has been long committed to the growth of the PlayStation business for the last 25 years. I believe that this new structure, where Jim will manage SIE's overall organization operations and which will allow John to focus on the key mission to develop PlayStation Network, has now grown into an immensely large platform with 90 million monthly users, will enable SIE to accelerate its innovation and evolution even further."
Yeah.
It's all buzzwords. And I don't mean it in a bad way, but I remember when Kaz got promoted to be in charge of Sony, right? And it was like, we're going with the Sony One thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, okay, cool. That was a good CES presentation. And it was like, it's still, I plugged my fucking Vita into my PlayStation 4 and it said this device isn't supported. So it wasn't that one, but okay, cool.
Yeah. I just think we're in a different place now where, you know, we're now almost a decade in to being used to having subscription services be what we are a part of. Like, it's not like a weird foreign concept to us. It's like, we will pay X amount of money a month, X amount of money a year to get things that we don't own. And that would have been crazy even 5 years ago. But now it's just like, oh, that's the way things go. Things will go on Netflix, they'll go off Netflix. Like, we'll bitch and complain about it on Twitter, but, like, really, we're not going to stop paying, right?
Yeah.
When you look at this, PS View, I think, is an interesting bit of it that I don't think is necessarily going to be part of the whole thing because that is just their side thing to make money for TV stuff.
You say that, but I mean, if you're gonna strata the program, if you're gonna give you an incentive to keep climbing up into, if you want to be P PSN Platinum, Gold, Bronze, you know, mm-hmm. Silver, or Bronze, like that is an interesting way to do it. If it was, hey, for $5 or what, that's outrageous. For $20 extra a year, you get View for a year. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, fuck, well, sure. And I'm getting cloud saves and I'm doing all this other
and
crap.
And that's getting more people using the system for different reasons, which is something that we saw Microsoft kind of flub their entrance last generation sure. with. Yeah, but yeah. I feel like now people are in a different place. Those things aren't as scary concepts. Like, people are now used to them. With PlayStation, I totally see them trying to make this a huge bit of their business. In the last, like, 2 weeks, we've been seeing a ton of the financial reports come out of all the different publishers, all the different developers, and, you know, some of them had really bad stories. Some of them had great stories, like Capcom. And when you look at them, there's one common theme that I noticed between all of them, which is digital makes up a huge part of the pie chart of what their business is. We're still going to see physical. There's still going to be gaming stores for the foreseeable future. And even next gen, there has to be, because too much of the country, too much of the world doesn't have internet to be able to support those type of downloads. However, it's clear that the money's there. It's clear that there are enough people to make a huge dent where that is going to be the focus. And I think that there will be digital only versions of the consoles for good reason, because that's where the support's coming from.
I'm looking at you're wrong. People are just chiming in. Not many you're wrongs as much as like trying to expand out. This is an interesting. The Nanobiologist says, currently on PC, Apex Legends has crossplay by linking your Origin account to Steam and syncing your friends list to play that way, but that's only on PC. Interesting though that it is happening. There's a way to it, right?
Well, they said crossplay that is going
to
happen.
I know. But he's saying, like, right now, there's already baby steps to it, even if it's just PC, which is interesting enough. And then, of course, DJ Starburst brings up the fact that there is Uplay, which links you across everything, which is true, and that is Ubisoft building that out. Or is it still called Uplay, or is it now Ubisoft account or some shit? I thought they killed Uplay, but I know I'm still earning the U-Bucks or whatever. And fuck. Hey, Barrett, what do you got to say about Uplay?
Last time I remember playing a Ubisoft game that was called Uplay.
Was it still? I use it, but I just can't remember what they call it anymore. Whatever. Yeah, but that is the thing. Is like, that's future-proofing in a way, right? Of like, here's how it's going to
happen.
Yeah,
and it's like, you know, earlier you were talking about Division. Like, it is weird because Ubisoft games right now, Ubisoft doesn't have the Fortnite-type game where it is the free-to-play, just like everyone's in, which I think the free-to-play aspect makes it a bit more makes more sense in my mind of the jumping around between consoles, because it's like it is just a fucking download, right? Sure. And at least what we've seen so far, the free-to-play games are digital only. So it's like it only affects you if you do have the internet, right? Yeah. Apex Legends, you need the internet. You can't go buy it in the store and you can't play it without the internet. So I feel like focusing on that and like that type of game makes a lot of sense there to come up with some type of overarching system. Ubisoft doesn't have that game yet, but they will. I just don't know when, right? But like, this is the direction that we're going right now.
Have you played Apex Legends?
Oh my god, it's so good.
Right? I played it last night for the first time because I was finally back at my console. I just ran with, it was the second row, second woman over, African-American, shaved sides of the head, and then dreads back or whatever. Just running around with
it. It's all about my boy Soundwave, dude.
Yeah. I played it last night. We went to bed at 9 o'clock last night because we were exhausted after this East Coast trip. I played one thing and I was like, this game is fucking amazing. And I'm too tired to learn it right now. You know what I mean? Like, this is good. I just need to bounce out and do something else.
It's great.
Yeah, I can't wait to get back to it. Number three. And I think on any other day, this would probably be number one. There's a Nintendo Direct tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, baby. Let's
Nintendo
go.
Nintendo tweets, tune in February 13th at 2 p.m. Pacific for a Nintendo Direct featuring around 35 minutes of information on upcoming hashtag Nintendo Switch titles, including new details on Fire Emblem Tree Houses.
Three houses.
That's true. Yeah. Treehouse would be more fun, though. Right?
It would.
Tim, you can imagine where the questions start going from this. Yes. A lot of people wrote in, what are we getting tomorrow?
Before,
what's happening?
Before we even get to the questions, a couple little tidbits that I want to add to this. In the press release, it says an all-new Nintendo Direct.
Okay.
They haven't used that phrasing before.
Yeah.
Not that that's anything too crazy, but it doesn't mention 3DS. It says Switch games. The all-new, very interesting to me. On top of that, yesterday, I don't remember where this came from, but they announced that they're doing like 5 tree houses in the coming weeks. About Pokemon. So I don't know how this all adds up together. I can kind of see this maybe teeing up Gen 8 Pokemon reveal.
Okay.
So then, like,
am I getting Animal Crossing tomorrow?
I think that it's very likely that you will.
Nice.
Yeah. Luigi's Mansion and Animal Crossing are in a weird... Nintendo's in a weird place because this is the longest we've ever went without having a Direct, ever.
Okay.
So with that, I feel like they have a lot of announcements they need to make. Right now, their 2019 is very ambiguous. Like, we're looking at it and it's like, we know that we have Yoshi... we know that we have Fire Emblem. We know that we have
Pokemon.
Pokemon, and like, there's a lot of stuff. But there's questions.
Did they ever say 2019 Animal Crossing?
I feel like in the end of the last one, where they announced what's her face in Smash,
Isabel.
And then they announced, yeah,
show some
Isabel.
Fucking respect.
What's her face in Smash, and then
yeah,
and then after that they said Animal Crossing 2019.
Got it. Yeah.
But what's interesting is Nintendo did something last month that they haven't done in this Switch generation, which is not have a Direct and make big announcements just on Twitter. Like, they just announced the release date to Yoshi's Crafted World just with a tweet.
Willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Which is very weird because that's normally Direct information. So the fact that they did that and then now there is a Direct, I think that they're really focusing. I think that we're going to get a lot tomorrow.
Good.
I don't think that we're going to get anything like earth shattering. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Metroid Prime Trilogy, especially off the heels of
the delay for
the delay.
Metroid
and
Prime
4. I think that the reason that we didn't see a Direct last month is because they wanted to get the bad news out and then kind of just have a fresh start here.
Yeah,
a reset
yeah.
of like, here's
That's
2019. There's the rumors that we talked about last week from Emily Rogers of there being 11 unannounced 2019 Switch titles, from Nintendo, but those 11 are going to range from eShop, Labo,
a whole
bunch of different things that could be. I think Metroid Prime Trilogy is one of those games, and now would be a great time to announce it for a fall release. You know, maybe even earlier. I don't know. Animal Crossing definitely, I can see as a June release if they have their shit together for it, and then Luigi's Mansion. I kind of feel it's a little too early to see it again. I think we'll see that maybe at E3. Yeah, I don't know. I love that right now we don't really know. So it's like they could just surprise us with some crazy shit. Like, will we see Retro's game? Like, is that Star Fox game not canceled? And is it actually coming out? Because if so, this is the time to show it. Because we need to start getting people excited for what they're going to be playing this year in a year that doesn't have Mario Odyssey, Zelda, or Smash Brothers.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Smash DLC. That's the other easy layup here. We're probably going to see Joker gameplay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Will we see an announcement of Persona 5 on Switch?
Nope.
I think it's a little early for that, but...
I think we'll never get it.
Why?
Because Sony... they're just weird, okay? I'm sure Atlas
wants... Yeah, they're
weird.
We just read all this fucking crossplay shit. I know
I'm
that.
I'm sure Atlas wants to put it
I'm
on
sure
Switch,
they do.
But
fuck
I'm sure they have a very complicated contract with Sony about it.
Mm-hmm.
Contracts are made to be broken.
Yeah, that's my man.
That's my man.
Nanobiologist confirms, and you're wrong, that yes, Animal Crossing did say Animal Crossing 2019. I can't fucking wait. I want Animal Crossing real bad.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to build my house and get some cherries. I digress.
Why not Mario Maker 2?
Oh, my God. Yeah, also
that
awesome.
Would be very excited about that.
Why not Pete? Wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and asked, now that you've gone through the process of hosting a game showcase yourselves, has it changed your overall opinion on Nintendo Directs and how they're presented? How would Kind of Funny change Nintendo Directs if they were the ones to change them? I've always thought Nintendo Directs do a good job.
I love them.
Yeah.
I feel like they've only gotten better, and I feel like now they're perfect.
Yeah.
Like, the pacing's great. With very rare exception, they don't spend too long talking about a game. I remember... it must have been like a year ago, or maybe it was 2 years ago, but they did a Xenoblade. There was like a Xenoblade Chronicles bit that went on way too long, and it's like going into the gameplay mechanics.
Didn't people
of
get
the
pissed off
at
the last Smash one too, like the final Smash, because it was like, oh, here's all this little stuff.
That was people were mad about that because it was their E3 presentation.
Gotcha.
But it's like, dude, guess what? Smash is one of the biggest games in the entire world, and them focusing on that was for good reason, because people care.
Yeah.
And the sales prove that, if anything. But yeah. Okay. I think they nail it. And I feel like they've learned a lot with the Nindy showcases versus the Nintendo presentations versus the Nintendo Directs and stuff.
Yeah.
Where it's like they have different formats that fit different things, whether it's general directs, mini directs and stuff. And tomorrow I think is gonna be a good example of like, here's just a bunch of stuff, and it's what you always talk about. It's a little something for everyone.
Yeah.
No one's going to watch this and be like, every single game there is for me, But I think that they move on with the announcements quick enough that it's not like bogging down.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's what you want. That's what we wanted with our showcase, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Number four, Mass Effect Lives. This is from Tom Sr. at PC Gamer over there. And actually, you know what? I think PC Gamer tipped me off, and it was actually from Polygon, so I went to Polygon and actually took it from Polygon, so it's a Polygon thing. Barrett, can you give me a Google to find out who wrote the Polygon article? It's the interview about Anthem and BioWare and where they're going. Over there, though, Polygon had an interview with Anthem executive producer Mark Dara and Casey Hudson, of course, BioWare bigwig. And they talk about the Anthem's lead up to launch here because we're so close. Dragon Age, Mass Effect, what's going on at the studio. But I know Mass Effect's on the tip of a lot of people's tongues, so here comes some quotes. As for BioWare's own space opera franchise, Anthem EP Mark Dara says, quote, "We're definitely not done with Mass Effect. There's a lot of stories to be told. We could pull on the threads we put down with Andromeda. We could pull on threads from Mass Effect 3. There's a lot of interesting space to be explored in."
Hey.
And then Casey Hudson chimes in. "In my mind, it's very much still, it's very much alive. I'm thinking all the time about things that I think will be great. It's just a matter of getting back to it as soon as we can." So Mass Effect fans, don't worry, still alive. Barrett, you find me an author?
The State of BioWare?
Yeah, that's it.
Alex Kane.
Thank you. That's Polygon?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Barrett.
Not surprising.
Not at all, but it's nice
just
to
enough
hear
info
it.
That they're just like, and I, you know, I feel like EA is feeling themselves right now, with good reason, with the next story coming
sure.
up.
Sure. The next story, number five, Apex Legends has more than 25 million players. This is from Vince Zampella himself over at Respawn. We're also thrilled to announce, this is from a blog post, that since last Monday, more than 25 million players have jumped into the game. And over the weekend, we had well over 2 million concurrent players at our peak. Like I said earlier, what a week. From everyone here at Respawn, thank you. The community excitement for Apex Legends is electric, and we feel it here at the studio. We couldn't have gotten where we are without you and look forward to having you on this journey with us. He then details a couple things coming on this journey immediately. Later this week, we'll be celebrating Valentine's Day by introducing some limited-time Valentine's Day-themed loot, so all you Apex Legends lovers out there can keep your eyes open. And then don't forget, Season 1 kicks off in March, introducing the debut of a Battle Pass, as well as new legends, weapons, loot, and more. This one for me is special in the way that it is such a, it has so many shades of Insomniac with Spider-Man, where I feel like I love Titanfall 1 and Titanfall 2 I enjoyed, but not as much as some people did, but we all know I didn't sell well and I got buried and yada, Titanfall 1 got ignored, yada yada yada. I felt like for the longest time Respawn's been this studio making really awesome shit and not getting the credit they deserve. So to have Apex Legends come out of nowhere, what a great fucking release, right?
Perfect.
Of, and I don't know how much we talked about all this. Fran, I went down there and saw it, right? He went down for us to see it, and they had hit us up of like, hey, yeah, the, you know, Respawn's got a new IP we want to show people. Okay, cool. And then when Fran texts me after the event, and I'm like, so what was he? He's like, oh, it is that battle royale. It is Respawn. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, you know, it's Monday at noon. And I was like, oh, that's okay, good embargo. And he's like, no, the game comes out Monday. And I was like, what?
Yeah,
what the fuck? And then the campaign during the Super Bowl of all the influencers mm-hmm. tweeting at the same time about it, that was brilliant.
Perfect storm. It's yeah. a perfect storm that was created. At the end of the day, the most important thing is the game's good. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I love, we keep talking about this, but it's like, this is going to be one of those things in the history books of one of the most successful, greatest video game launches of all time, because they did it right.
Yeah,
like they knew that they had a good game that they just needed to get in people's hands, and that is going to be the best press you can possibly get, is people liking something.
Here's my question for you. You, not one usually for the Battle Royale games, mm-hmm. right? Are you going to play more of this?
I'm going to dabble as much as I normally do. Like, yeah. It's a lot of fun. I'm not good at shooters. That's the biggest problem yeah. for me. It's just like, I'm just not. So it's like, I'm never going to like get as deep into it as like Andy.
Sure, you know? Of course, yeah.
But I'm having so much fun because it feels right. There's a feel to it that makes sense to me. Fortnite, the building has never made sense.
Oh, no, yeah, no, totally,
and so it's
exactly.
like that just kind of that block.
That me playing last night, that was my thing of like, the problem was I was too tired and I didn't, it was just Alex O'Neill online playing. So, and I didn't want to like put up a tweet to play for like one match. So I was just mm-hmm. playing with randoms, and then I muted them because I didn't want to fucking hear them. And then it was like, I want to play this alone, but even if I can't, I can see where this is more my speed than what Fortnite is. Cause yeah, Fortnite, I'm not tooting my own horn here. It was, you know, months and months and months of Alfredo training me.
Mm-hmm.
I was decent at Titanfall. I did pretty well at Titanfall. I could compete in Titanfall.
Yeah.
And so getting back in last night, when I did my first slide, I was like, all right, great.
God,
it's Titanfall.
The slide
when I mounted
is so
over
cool.
the first like plateau or whatever, mm-hmm. like rock wall, I was like, this is home. This
the
feels
ping
so really
system's
normal.
Awesome. It's just like it feels good, and that's the most important thing to a video game, right?
Yeah.
So it's like I'm so proud of them. I love the transparency. I love how much Vince is tweeting about it and yeah. celebrating
well, dude, they,
the game working.
They and, fucking deserve a win. That's mm-hmm. what I'm talking about. In the same way, and if you're new and don't understand what I'm talking about, Insomniac, that I, you know, Insomniac for years was awesome and making great fucking games, but after a while it just became, oh, another Resistance, oh, another Ratchet and Clank, and they weren't getting breakout success and people were ignoring them unless you were the PlayStation faithful. Mm-hmm. So to see that now them break out Insomniac and see, yeah, fucking Vince finally be able to say, like, 25 million fucking players, right? And have them be excited and ready and, like, doing it right, it seems, jumping yeah. on all this stuff.
Oh, man. It's just brilliant.
The Nanobiologist, frequent contributor to the show, wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and said, yesterday, EA announced Apex Legends has hit 25 million players total and 2 million concurrent players over the weekend. This is huge news, but is this sustainable or is it another fad? I'm personally loving this game and I haven't been this engrossed in a shooter since playing Rainbow Six Siege. Nearly every battle royale we've seen, parentheses, except Realm Royale, rest in peace, has had a huge spike in players the first couple of weeks and continued that trend until the next one comes out. Is this the next Fortnite or is it the next PUBG? P.S. I've already bought my train ticket and can't wait to meet you guys in New York. Nanobiologist, I'm very excited to meet you after all your contributions.
I mean, I think it's both.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's somewhere in between. But having said that, like, the next PUBG is not a bad thing.
Sure.
Like, PUBG, still one of the highest money makers of last year.
Yeah.
I think that this is going to go on to continue to dominate for a lot longer because I feel like it's something fresh that, you know, Fortnite at this point is old.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
they, yeah. they keep changing stuff. But when you see, again, so many of these games are built around streaming. They're built around streaming culture. Yeah, yeah. They're built around people watching streamers, playing, like, streaming yourself, all of that. And a lot of these guys are sick of playing Fortnite for 600 hours. They just want something new. And I feel like this will get 600 hours out of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's somewhere, I think it's somewhere in the middle. Is, you know, 2 million concurrents sustainable? No, of course not. Your peak of success, in maybe this isn't the peak, is never going to be sustainable all across yeah. the board. For me, the biggest thing is, like, cool, go to Vegas, come back this weekend, right? I want to play this. Jen was actually interested. She's like, I'd like to play this with you. I'm like, awesome. Let's get the Sega TV in the living room. Let's do this. But next week, I'm more excited for Anthem. Like, I like that idea, right, of, like, a more single-player focused PvE rather than PvP game. But in the same breath, I'm also more interested in putting more time into this than I am Fortnite right now. Now, granted, Fortnite old and I've played a lot, but it is the idea of, like, oh, this is more basic. This isn't having to build and seeing that shit and not understanding it. But there's new systems in here that I need to learn. And there's all these different things. It's a new game. Everybody's going to want to get into
it. And I think that another key thing is, and I don't want to put my foot in my mouth here, but this is the first time we've seen a free-to-play AAA game. Like, you look at this game, and there's, like, a on this level of that's good and successful and a battle royale for, at the very least. But
I understand what you're saying.
You look at this, and it looks more similar to Blackout. To Call of Duty Blackout.
Honestly, with all due respect, I think it looks better than Blackout.
And that's a full price game, yeah. right? Or I guess you can buy Blackout for.
And
for
I played Blackout very briefly.
But there's money there, right? Whereas yeah. this is, it's free to play. And you compare yeah. this to Fortnite or PUBG, that's not even free to play.
Yeah. And it's the same thing as always. Like, I played last night and I had one match and I was like, that's really fun. I expect to play more of it. So when Vince is like, oh, there's going to be Valentine's Day content, I'm like, that's interesting. Am I going to buy that? What does that look like? What would it take for me to buy? And I'm like, no,
Andy
no,
bought
Greg.
Stuff instantly. Day one.
Do it.
He played a couple matches.
Of course
and like,
Andy did. Andy's an idiot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, fuck him.
I do know what you
Thank
mean.
Thank you, right? It's about time we got on the same page. Number six, the final story on the Rope Report. I told you it was a big one. Starbreeze is selling back System Shock to Other Side Entertainment. Starbreeze and Other Side Entertainment have mutually agreed to sell back the publishing rights to Other Side Entertainment's System Shock 3. Starbreeze expects to be fully reimbursed for costs the company has had in connection with the development of the game. Starbreeze acquired the publishing rights for System Shock 3 in 2017 and has since then partly financed the development of the game. The title owner, Other Side Entertainment, and Starbreeze have now reached an agreement whereby Starbreeze retains the publishing rights for the game to Other Side and will be able to recoup the development costs.
Returns the
thank you. I was rereading after I said it. Quote, I believe this is the best possible solution for us, although it is sad that we cannot complete the project with Other Side. System Shock 3 is a fantastic title developed in cooperation with industry legend Warren Spector, and I am looking forward to seeing the game released, said acting CEO of Starbreeze, AB. As previously announced, Starbreeze will focus on its core business of games development and publishing. Starbreeze holds publishing titles for Psychonauts 2 and 10 Crowns, And I would not be surprised to see that Psychonauts 2 get the fuck out of there soon.
Yeah.
Remember, Starbreeze is the one that's having all the troubles. They got raided by the people for insider trading or whatever. They already weren't meeting their financials after Overkill's The Walking Dead. All hell was breaking loose, and this is just clearly another thing of, let's try to right the ship. Let's get some money back, right?
Like, yeah,
we'll sell it back to you, but you got to pay us back for what we put into it, because we're trying to balance the books and keep it afloat here.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's going to be able to happen.
I just can't believe Psychonauts 2 isn't out yet.
Yeah.
I feel like we've been talking about that game forever.
Well, you had
Rhombus
of Ruin right on your PlayStation VR, so there you go. That was really, you know, the piece. Yeah, that's what it's all about. Tim, this is where I'm going to get you warmed up to give me a bad transition. But first, I'm going to tell you about our sponsor, Hims. 66% of men lose their hair by the age 35. And the thing is, once you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. It's easier to keep the hair you have and try to get the ones back you lost. So that's why you should be like Nick Scarpino and Andy Cortez and go to 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and more for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. These are well-known generic equivalents to brand prescriptions, to help you keep your hair. There's no snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. These are prescription solutions backed by science. No waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits. Save hours by going to 4hims.com. Just like Andy and Nick did. They went online, talked to a doctor, sent in some photos, and got matched with prescriptions to help fight their thinning hair. Order now. My listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. Tim, I'm excited to see if Andy can get a thicker, fuller head of hair, but we're going to have to wait to see what's happening, just like a Chia Pet.
Uh-huh.
While we wait, is there anything we could go get games and stuff, like more news now?
Yeah, the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
All right, here, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a real quick conversation about how your wrong works. When I'm wrong, you need to correct me about things. Yesterday, once again, this is the second time, I think, in Games Daily career history, where I read Tuesday's games on Monday, and you all were just like, wait a second, Trials Rising is a beta, not the actual thing. Nobody pointed out none of these games were out yesterday. So let's do it again and add some new ones.
Do it again, baby.
Arcade Spirits is on PC. Hyper Jam is on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. Hacky Zack is on PlayStation 4. Yeah.
Jesus.
The Liar. Yeah, The Liar Prince. No, hold on. Let me try again. Third time's charm. The Liar Princess and The Blind Prince is on PlayStation 4 and Switch. And then this is where I eat a lot of words. These are new ones, and I eat a lot of fucking words today, guys. Minesweeper Genius comes to Switch, PS4, and Xbox One. Putting a huge hole in my argument when I yell about PC games.
Minesweeper Genius explodes.
That's I copied it right from the press release. That's them be like, instead of saying releases, they're saying explodes. It's Minesweeper Genius.
It's capital.
So I'm sorry, PC gamers. It's your infection has spread to me.
Your exclusive's gone.
And as soon as I saw this, by the way, I did request a code for Switch. The King's Bird launches on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. And then the DC Movie Character Pack is out for LEGO DC Super Villains. New dates for you. Like I said, February 19th, you're getting the Rocket League Friends update. This gives you the cross friends list for all your different things so you can play on different platforms. It also introduces Season 9 rewards. In the start of season 10, and there's also quality life improvements. This Thursday, Conviction, an Anthem game, live action short by Neil Blomkamp, is going to debut on the internet if you want to get ready and psyched for that.
That's kind of cool.
It's set decades before the beginning of the game. Interesting.
That's less cool.
Oh, why? Do you want to see how the world builds? Man?
No. Not decades before.
Space Junkies comes to PlayStation VR March 26th. Degrees of Separation comes to PlayStation 4 Valentine's Day, February 14th. Pwned is going to launch on PlayStation 4 February 19th. And then there's a huge Red Dead Online update on February 26th. From the official press release, the summary is, the next set of updates and new features is set to be added to Red Dead Online beta February 26th as we implement many new improvements and enhancements to the game's open world, including a new law and bounty system, weapons balancing, changes to player blips on the minimap, and more.
Wow.
So get excited. I don't hear people talk about Red Dead Online.
Yeah.
But I didn't hear people really talk about online. Oh, thank God we fired Jared. I don't have to hear about that anymore. Was there anything more satisfying when a game of the year when he's like, Red Dead, and we're like, fuck you, God of War.
Yeah.
It's over.
Fuck you.
That's when he fired his ass right there.
Yeah,
deals of the day for you. IGN had it up, and I'm just reading straight from them. It's a new week, which means a whole new set of deals is now live on digital Xbox One games on the Microsoft Store. In addition to the Xbox One game sale, you can also get killer discounts on hardware, and the Xbox Game Pass is just $2 for 2 months. So there you go. Check that out if you're looking to get on Games Pass cheap. Cheap, cheap. And who ain't?
Cheap.
You know what I mean?
Cheap, cheap.
Oh, man. We had good questions. Well, I mean, I sprinkled good questions in. I narrowed it down to two good questions, but I feel like we're... I'm like, should I jump? Should I not jump? Should I jump?
Jump hard, man.
We're going to do one question, and it's a big one. Dan wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, to be part of the show, and says, hey, Kind of Funny Games Daily. My question is, do you think having video game characters being some form of LGBTQ is pandering? The reason for my question is Apex Legends having a non-binary and a gay character has caused a huge discussion within my group of friends. They believe that characters being gay is pandering to the LGBT community. Some of them think that all video game protagonists should be straight white males. Soldier 76 was a character that was brought up a lot in our discussion, which turned into an argument. I just want to know your thoughts on this. As a straight Puerto Rican guy, I look forward to seeing more diverse characters in video games because video games are cool. Edit is needed. I didn't do anything. KFAF for streamy, fuck you. Good to talk to you again. Damn.
I definitely think it's pandering to a better future, you know, pandering to a group of people that want to be inclusive and supportive of everyone being able to connect to video games and play video games. And that's not to say that you need to see yourself in everything to be able to connect, but I do think that it helps a lot. I was trying to find a tweet that I think got deleted that I retweeted. I don't know why it would have been deleted, but somebody showed a video of their 4-year-old daughter playing Crash Bandicoot, and he wrote this thing. He was like, it's so cool that, you know, she's only playing this because Coco is playable
in the trilogy.
And it's like, he's like, these things matter because, like, even to these little kids, like, they like the girls because they're girls and they want that. And it's like, that should be an option when it doesn't get in the way of anything else, right? And I think that with Apex Legends, I love that they were straight up about it. Like, it was part of their stories. Like, it's part of their bios. There's not, like, this ambiguous, are they not? It's like, no, they are. I think that's really important, and we're going to see more of that for good reason.
Yeah, I don't think it's pandering. I think pandering has a negative connotation. I understand how you're using it, and you explained what you mean exactly. I don't think it's pandering at all. No, it is everything we just said. It's building out a living world. It's giving your characters personalities and a backstory and something to cheer for and something, yes, to find yourself in, right? Like, yeah, it's been easy for me forever to play a game and be able to see something of myself in a white male, you know what I mean? Like, it's way cooler to see now this breakdown in children get excited to, yes, play a platformer like Crash, right, and see a female character they can play as. Minorities of any, you know, color, race, creed, sexual orientation to have to sit in the silence forever and feel like they're all alone, and to see them now represented in awesome games. Like, you know, Apex Legends dropped yesterday. I've caught up, obviously, that there's been not hullabaloo about it, but, like, people have been pissed off about the, you know, inclusion of different people. Last night I was playing Bangalore, right, because I want to make sure she wasn't the non-binary character, and I was already assigning a gender to her. She's a she according to her bio here. So, like, no, that's awesome, and that's good, and that also explains it too, and it also gives a life raft, right, or a life preserver to somebody out there. Number one, if they feel alone and they're the only person that they feel like this, or what they're feeling inside or thinking, great. If they've never met someone like that, it's awesome to see someone like that and be like, oh, you're just like everybody else. You know what I mean? This is similar to Rogue Legacy, right? Where, like, it would randomly generate your next character, and sometimes, like, they had you're colorblind or this, and, like, there'd be different gameplay things, and then it would be like, you're gay, and you go through, and there was no change. I'd be like, it played just like everybody else. And they're like, exactly. That's the fucking point. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, being a non-binary character in here, being a lesbian in this game, you're not running around being like, you can't shoot as good. No.
I guess the most important thing to me is that anybody that thinks that this is a bad idea is wrong. Period. Yeah. Like, I don't even think that there's an argument to be made. It's just anger. It's just fear and anger.
It is. But I don't like saying... It's a spectrum, right, of... saying you're wrong, I feel, already builds up this wall then. Now we're on different sides and we're going to fight about this. Whereas I think change is different. Change is hard. Growth is hard. We talk about this all the time, right? I always use the story is what I was looking for there for a word, of in college, right? I know this is an old one for you. Sorry. And for most listeners probably too, of using gay. In saying, that's gay, this is gay, blah, 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 blah. And not meaning it, meaning, oh, that's homosexual, right? I mean, that sucks, that's stupid, whatever. And the time my first real close gay friend in college was like, what do you mean? Why are you saying that? Oh, that's stupid. Well, why don't you say stupid then? Do you understand how that makes me feel? I'm like, oh, man, we had a real conversation about it. Understand that I had met other gay people at college. I had probably seen them wince. This is my freshman year. I'd probably seen them wince at me using it, but I never stopped to think about it, right? And if they would have challenged me and been like, hey, that's fucking, you're an idiot, you're wrong. And I would have been like, well, fuck you, boss. And that conversation could have gone a different way, right? Like, I don't want it to be, when this is the whole problem with the internet in general, trying to have a conversation in the comments or on Twitter, right? Is that it's so easy to be binary, right? Or yes, no, black, white. And so when you do that, you're wrong. Then it's, okay, guess what? Now a lot of people, and my first reaction probably at the time would have been too, is I'm going to clamp down and be like, no, fuck you. I don't mean it that way. I can't say whatever. You know what? Blah, blah, blah. And like, it escalates in a way it shouldn't escalate.
Take out the swear words and take out, I get where you're coming from, and you're right about that.
Yeah.
I just feel like that time is gone.
Sure.
Like it's 2019. It's not the year 2000 when, you know, like the word gay being used as just like a slander now is like, that's, it's wrong.
100%. You're right. That, and it
but,
is and wrong.
I get what but you're I, saying I about do, there needs to be the dialogue, needs exactly. to be the conversation. I feel like the time for that is
sure
in the past.
But I also feel like video games reach young and skew young, especially in our free-to-play one, right? Like this is a chance in a way, and I'm now totally out on a ledge that I don't, yeah, no. Fortnite's never had a gay character, right? I'm throwing that out there and assuming, right? Because there's no backstories for most of these characters unless somebody's written it. This is a free-to-play game that is getting into different hands. And there's no barrier to entry for a 9-year-old who hasn't had these conversations with this thought process and maybe does think of somebody in the LGBTQ community as less than, right? To jump in and play this game, find this character, enjoy this character, and finally find on the internet that they're gay. And be like, oh, really? And like, oh, well, I really like playing as them. I mean, that make them question that decision for a second, right? This is all about trying to build a better place and a better world. Like, we always talk about being better to each other. So I understand, Dan, why, you know, you're in this fight with your friends here, struggling with it or whatever. But no, some of them think that all video game protagonists should be straight white males.
They're dumb.
Some of them just need to think a little bit better and like see just how that makes other people feel. Just for a second, walk in anybody else's shoes. Make them play fucking Gone Home.
Yeah.
Time to squad up. And this is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You give me your name, username, platform of choice. I choose you. Throw you out here. The best friends come and play games with you. Today, the nanobiologist is looking to play on Origin and PC. Their Origin PC name, the nanobiologist, all one word. N-A-N-O. The nanobiologist says, I have fallen in love with Apex Legends and want to play more with the best friends. I'm usually available after 7 p.m. Eastern. Currently, I main Lifeline, Bangalore, and Bloodhound. If you want to play more Apex Legends and carry a best friend to victory, hit me up on Origin, the nanobiologist, no spaces. Also, with the new season of Rainbow Six Siege heading down under, I'd love to get back into it with the best friends. I'm on Uplay as happy_poo_time.
Happy poo time.
That is awesome. And I'm not even going to do that one. Sorry. You're playing on Uplay. Hart, the nanobiologist. Everybody, nanobiologist, one of our most frequent contributors. Go play some games. And then come see the nanobiologist in New York, because apparently they're coming. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong is where we send the live viewers to get the record straight for everybody watching later. Right now, Kill Zach says, Uplay is the PC platform. Ubisoft Club is the service that tracks you across platforms. That makes sense why I was like, I don't think it's called Uplay anymore, because I only play on PlayStation. Capitalist Pig says, crossplay correction for Apex Legends. Apex Legends does not offer crossplay yet. The Steam Link ability previously mentioned just brings over your friend list. Thank you. That's speculation. That's not a you're wrong. This is not anything I know. That's not you're wrong. Okay. Odenton says, Tim, the bad direct Greg was talking about was the Final Smash one where the Grinch leak was deconfirmed and they spent way too long on spirits, not the E3 one. How could you forget the worst day of your life?
No, I guess you're right. That was bad. But like that was not a Nintendo Direct. Like a general one that was very specifically about the game, and that's when I'll give them the pass to get into the nitty gritty. I was just mad about what the nitty gritty contained.
So we seeing Grinch tomorrow, confirmed for Smash.
Grinch for Smash, dude. Let the dream never die.
I'm stopping there. Yeah. No, there's some breaking news stuff in here, a little bit of other stuff, but not big enough for us to do this. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the video game news you need to know about. If you like that, watch the show live, twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. Watch it later, youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Listen on podcast services around the globe. This is my final show for the next 2 days. I'll be back on Friday. Tomorrow, it's Wednesday, and Imran Khan from Game Informer. Ooh. Back again. Thursday, Tim, and question mark still. I'm still trying. Shit. I've had a lot of people be like, no, not enough time, and I hate Tim.
No, that's a big problem.
I'm refreshing my email. My latest person I asked has not responded, but we'll get to you. We'll get you someone. And Friday.
You can Barrett again. You
Friday meets Tim. No, Barrett sucks.
He does suck.
But like, true, I do played suck, anything. Dude.
Yeah, dude. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.